there, and welcome back to Spilling the Paint Water. My name is Chloe Rose, but I go by Chloe Rose Art on YouTube, where I make lots of artsy crafty content. So if you do enjoy this podcast, please feel free to subscribe to my YouTube channel for more content. Today I am joined with perhaps the most anticipated guest of the season, the incredible Mariah Elizabeth. Now Mariah is the queen of the craft community with over 5.7 million subscribers. Mariah completely revolutionized the craft community with her incredible squishy makeovers and original crafty content. She's inspired countless other creatives and YouTube channels, including myself, and is one of the most humble people you will ever meet. You can find her on Instagram as Mariah Elizabeth Official or YouTube as Mariah Elizabeth. So let's jump right into the episode. Okay, so today I am joined with the incredible Mariah. Mariah, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for asking me on. I keep up with your videos and your channel, so I saw like the original announcement you made for the podcast, and I was like, oh, that is so cool. I'm so excited to watch it or listen to it. But I didn't consider that you would actually ask me to be a part of it, so I'm pretty excited. I really appreciate that you included me in this.
Well, I am honestly, you are someone that I wanted on as soon as I was thinking about it. You were always on my list of people I wanted. And obviously, ever since I've announced it, it's always been, where's Mariah? When's Mariah coming on? When is it?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
thanks,
everyone,
guys.
You're like the biggest requested person. So
really?
You wow. Absolutely are. All my comments are, where's Mariah? You said you'd bring on Mariah. And I'm like, we're all busy. We've got to, you know, trying to get it on the schedule.
Oh, that makes me feel so happy. But also, like, pressure. I hope we don't disappoint anyone.
No, you will never disappoint. You're like the queen of the crafting community.
Oh, thank you.
You absolutely are.
Thank you.
You are. And I remember, when did I discover your channel? I want to say it was probably early last year. And I was surprised I'd never seen you recommended to me before. But I saw your videos and you were like instantly someone that I was just very drawn to, because your videos are just edited so amazingly fun to watch. I've genuinely never been so hooked on someone's channel before. I have never been so like sat there for 10 minutes straight and not realized that 10 minutes has passed, because I'm someone that I have such a short attention span for videos, but I could always just watch yours from start to finish without a doubt. They're just so entertaining.
Wow, thank you. I really appreciate that. I
You're
also
welcome.
Have a very short attention span, which is why I edit like that, because when I'm watching videos, my mind starts to wander. And so, when I'm editing, I'm like going crazy trying to make sure that the pacing is really fast and always entertaining, because I know that I would want to watch something that's really fast paced.
I edit as well, which is why I have an even greater appreciation for the way that you edit, because it's not just like, oh, I'm just doing a quick voiceover, or I'm just chopping this here and there. It's the fact that so many times I can tell that you've, as you're filming, you're planning what you need to say as you're showing something or as you're doing something. It's like, you know exactly what you want to be saying at that time, and you kind of like pre-plan for that. And I honestly don't really fully even know how you do it. It's just so clever how you edit.
Oh, thank you. Thank
you
so much. Yeah, there is a lot of thought that goes into it. I will say that. A lot of thought and a lot of time and effort. Editing is like a big part of what I do. It's like 50% editing, 50% filming. So I spend many hours a week editing, and it's like something that I really enjoy doing also. I consider it kind of like an art form, editing. Mm-hmm. And so it's just another part of my creative process that I take very seriously. So
that's awesome. I think it's great that you enjoy it, because I used to enjoy editing and I don't anymore, and I do not edit to the degree that you do at all.
Well, there are definitely parts of editing that are like really tedious and time consuming and like make you want to pull your hair out sometimes. it takes forever. People who don't edit don't understand how time consuming editing is. It really takes a long time. So definitely understand where you're coming from with that.
But for me, like a quick rush edit is about 8 hours. I don't know. I think it's amazing. How many hours does it take you, would you say?
Over 20. Over 20 for every single video. Some are more, some are a little bit less, but at least 20 hours for every single video.
I'm not remotely surprised. So I'll touch a bit more maybe on that later on, but first of all, I wanted to kind of speak to you a little bit about kind of the creative community in general. Like, you reached out to me via email It was probably about a year ago now, and you were just saying how you wanted to like to get to know more people in the community because you're obviously so busy all the time. And you've been so kind and open to so many of people in the art community, and it's obviously it's very tough to balance, like, you know, the editing, the filming, and then also social media, as well as trying to keep up with the whole community as a whole. Do you feel that it's helpful knowing other people in the community or the creative community or the craft community? Do you think it's beneficial, or do you think it's just, it's very, you know, obviously it's quite time consuming?
Yeah, so I'm not as well connected in the community as like somebody like you or like Jackie Nerdy Crafter. She knows everyone.
She does.
She's one of the only people who's reached out to me, and I talk to her, you know, on a regular basis. But I am not as well connected, and that's something that I wish I was better at. I wish I made more time for it. I still haven't been to like any of the events or met, you know, you guys in person ever. So that's kind of on my goal, you know, my goal list, to meet up with you guys and see everyone in person. But I definitely do think it's helpful. I mean, obviously from like a business perspective, you could think of it like that, like, oh, you know, you can share audiences and whatnot. But I think it's more helpful just like kind of on a personal level. I think being a content creator can be kind of an isolating job because you're probably not going to, you're not going to run into anyone in your personal life who does what you do. And so, you know, to have people who understand what you do and understand your lifestyle, like, that's really valuable. And it's nice to just have people to like talk to and complain with, or, you know, brainstorm with. You know, it's something that you don't get otherwise. So, definitely a helpful thing and a good thing to have.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think it made me feel even better. Like when I was able to, I've been to 2 or 3 YouTube events now to meet up with people. And it's like so nice. I always say it's kind of like meeting up with co-workers in a sense, because you can all understand each other's struggles. Because if you complain to people outside of your like normal family who live the life with you, it can kind of sound a bit like, what are you complaining about? That doesn't make sense. What do you mean your views are down? I mean, what are you on about? You know, it's just...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. People definitely don't get it in general. And it can be, you know, frustrating, and you're constantly having to explain yourself and try to like help people put themselves in your shoes. But yeah, it's pretty difficult to do. So it's definitely nice to have people who get it.
Do you tell people if people ever like ask you, oh, so what do you do for a job? Do you tell them like outright, or do you kind of, I do this, and then kind of make stuff up in your head? Because
Oh my gosh, it's that question, like my heart will go like dun, 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 because I'm like, I gotta think right now, do I tell them the full story? Do I make something up? And I'm not really good at just like making things up, and I don't want to lie either, so it's always a dilemma. You know, if I don't think that I'm gonna have repeated interactions with somebody, I'll just say like, oh, I edit, I'm a video editor. And usually for like a lot of people, that's enough. And they're like, okay, I don't really care. I don't really want to ask like any more questions. Like, okay, you edit videos, that's fine. But some people like just keep on digging and asking more and
so
more
what do
questions.
You edit?
Yeah. Like what, where do you get your videos to edit? And I'm like, I guess I have to explain this now. So yeah, it's always a dilemma, but
yeah.
I'm what about you? Do you have like a go-to answer, or you just wing it every time?
Yeah, I wing it every time. I have been a video editor. I have been an artist. I've been a graphic designer. I've been an illustrator. I have been a web designer, because technically that's what I went to school for. So I'm like, I'm not technically lying, and I kind of do that maybe a little bit. I just basically have bits and pieces of whatever I do. So I'm not technically lying, but I'm just not telling a whole truth. Like the other day, on the phone, someone asked me, and I was like, oh, I'm an artist. Oh, so what kind of art do you make? Like digital paintings and acrylic paintings and stuff. Wow. So how did you make a job out of that? So I was just like, I put it online one day and it went from there, and they were like okay with that, and I was like okay, cool.
It's always nice when they're like stop asking and they're like satisfied, or you get them confused enough where they're like okay, and then they just move on. So that's always good. But I definitely feel you on that.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's nice, the creative community in general, because I think so many other communities, the beauty community is quite a mess, but I think other genres on YouTube tend to see people that make the same type of content as competition. Whereas I find the creative community more, like, welcoming and, I don't know, I'm obviously not in the beauty community, but from what I've seen and, like, the gaming community, some of them get on, some of them don't, but I feel like as a whole, the creative community is, like, not biased, but I think it's, like, the best.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Everyone I've talked to is really nice, mm-hmm. and, yeah, I definitely don't see everyone as just, like, competition and... Yeah. Yeah, we don't have that same kind of drama going mm-hmm. on that a lot of the other communities do, which I'm really grateful for because I'm really not into drama. I mean, no. I can appreciate it from a distance. It's like, yeah. let's watch this drama happen. But yeah, I am not the one who wants to be in the drama mm-hmm. at all. So I'm grateful that we don't have that really going on.
No. And you're very smart as well. You're a very, very smart businesswoman. So
oh my gosh,
you just
what?
Know what you're doing. You are, though. This is a huge business, and it's, you know, you've got to be smart about your choices and things. So you are absolutely the queen of that.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I don't feel like a super business savvy person, but thanks.
Oh, well, as an outsider, you definitely do. So how long have you been doing the whole creative stuff? Because I know you've been on YouTube for a while, but mm-hmm. I was looking back at some of your older videos. How long has it been that you've been really making the, like, crafty type videos?
I think I started kind of transitioning into, like, the crafty art-related videos in late high school. So it's been a while. How long ago was high school? Oh, gosh. Like, 7 years? 7, 8 years? Something like that. Nice. So, yeah, that was when I started dabbling in the art thing with my channel. I was actually my first art-related video was my Wreck This Journal flip through, mm-hmm. Which I don't know. I think most people know what a Wreck This Journal is, maybe. If you don't, it's basically just like a book that has a different prompt on it on every page, and the title says it all. You're basically just supposed to destroy the book and be really destructive with it. I'm not a big fan of destruction, so I just wanted to, like, doodle in it and use it as, like, art inspiration, so that's what I did. And then once I finished the book, I posted it on my channel, and that was the first thing that was even close to related to art that I posted. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being, like, one of my most popular videos, which at the time is funny. I was, like, kind of annoyed because mm-hmm. I'm like, this isn't what I'm doing on my channel. And now I have all these new people coming to my channel and I'm not doing art. So they're like, mm-hmm. there's nowhere to go for them. Right. So that kind of got me thinking, like, well, maybe I could do more art related stuff. And then I just started getting excited about it. And at the same time, I was kind of like losing steam with what I was doing, which was really stupid skits. I mean, they're like family videos at this point, and we still have fun watching them because my little brother was involved in a lot of them, and we had a blast making them. But there did come a point where I was like, I'm not sure if, like, I really want to do this anymore. So yeah, the art thing was just like a perfect transition for me and got, like, my passion back for making videos. And I did that all through college. It was really slow and inconsistent, though. Like, I was very into school. That right. was my priority. So I would go for, like, months and months without posting on my channel. So wow. it was a very, like, stretched out kind of growth. Mm-hmm. And by the time I graduated college, I think I had, like, 100,000 subscribers, but wow. only like 10,000 active, you know. They were right. like so old subscribers mm-hmm. that they weren't really watching anymore, most of them.
Right.
So yeah, at that point, that was when, like, I really started taking it seriously, when I graduated wow. college.
That's
yeah.
awesome. Did you already have, like, quite a big audience there before you started the crafty videos, or is it once you kind of started with the Wreck This Journal videos that it really started to get huge?
I think my audience was kind of, like, steady for a long time mm-hmm. throughout that, because, like I said, I was just so inconsistent and my videos were so far apart that I would lose subscribers and, like, gain subscribers and kind of at the same rate. So right. it wasn't really growing much. I don't honestly remember before I did the art videos how big my audience was. I don't remember. It was, like, so long ago, and I'm really yeah. bad with remembering specific numbers, but it wasn't huge at all.
Right. That's really cool, though. I know that I've personally never seen anyone do the whole squishy thing, which is what I first found you from, was the squishy. And Where did the idea for that come from? Was that a thing that's been going around for a while, or were you kind of the person that really, I mean, like, I don't know how to explain it, but yeah, knowing that you could put fabric, special fabric paint on a squishy and then put like bits of foam on it and stick it and it would make a brand new squishy. If someone had told me that and I hadn't seen it, I'd be like, that wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that come from? Yeah, were you like the creator of that?
I kind of built on what was already there.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like changed the process of what people were already doing. So like there was a squishy community. Like right. It doesn't really exist much anymore. I think most people have kind of fallen out of it, but there was a very small niche. I never know how to say that word. Niche.
Everyone says it different.
Yeah, of people who did these squishy videos, and they were like collectors of squishies. This was way before they were like trendy, and you couldn't find them in the U.S. at all. It was mostly in Asia that mm-hmm. they were trending. But there were people in the United States who got into it and were collecting them. And anyone who was doing anything creative with them, from what I saw at the time, they were buying like these really expensive, like collectible squishies and then like adding little bits of customization with them with fabric mm-hmm. paint. And I saw that and I was interested in it. I immediately like wanted to do something creative with these squishies because they're like always these cute characters or food themed things. And that's like right up my alley. That's what I yeah. love so much. So I was like, yes, I love these things. Like, how can I incorporate these into some sort of creative project? But the thought of taking something like a $25-$30 squishy and painting on it, like at the time I was really broke. So I was like, I don't want to do that. Like, that's a lot of money for like a hunk of foam. I don't want to do that. So I ended up looking online and I found like these super cheap ugly squishies, and I was mm-hmm. like, well, hey, this could be even better because this is going to be like me actually fixing them and making like a more dramatic transformation, and I can actually paint the entire thing, and I could even cut them up and glue them and re-glue them together in different ways. So yeah, I kind of built on what was already there, but I think I was the first one to really do like the full-out makeover with the squishies. Yeah. And definitely like I think I was the first one to change them and cut them up and reattach them in different ways. So, yeah. And then obviously it just kept on going. It was like an immediate like crowd favorite, yeah. And it's still going on today. So,
yeah. Well, there's so many like different options and so many different ways to do it, and it always has such a different outcome too.
Yeah.
And you've created such like a trend. I mean, I've done it a couple of times, and you know, Jackie did the unmakeovers mm-hmm. that she does, and there's, you know, other creators that like, oh, Mariah does this, I'm gonna try this too. And it's so much harder than you make it seem.
It is hard. It's so messy and everything mm-hmm. is gooey, yeah. and things want to fall apart. I have so much fun watching other people try it though. Yeah. Like, I loved your video, and yeah,
mine was so bad.
It was not bad. It was good. I don't know.
I was like, I'm going to add some texture for some fur because that doesn't look smooth. So, I'm just going to add some fur just to hide the crap parts.
That was a creative idea, though. I've actually never done that. So I was like, huh, that's interesting. I've never thought about doing it that way. But yeah, it's so much fun watching other people try it. I've definitely yeah. noticed a lot of people doing that. And yeah, I have yeah. a lot of fun watching. One of these days, I want to like invite people over and like have people try it like with me and experience that'd it together. So that would be super fun.
That would be really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine would be terrible.
It would be so fun. And no, it wouldn't. You've done it twice now, right?
I have.
Yeah.
I have. I forgot. What did I do the second time? I did a koala. No, it was a koala, and I turned it into a panda. And again, I don't know what it was. I just had a really hard time making it look smooth like you do. So I was like, okay, more fur.
Yeah, that's always an issue, getting it a smooth surface. Mm-hmm. You have to do like a ton of really thin coats, and it's a lot of time and patience. So
it is. I'm too impatient for crafts. I've decided. I just don't have the patience for it.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
But you have the patience to do like these super detailed paintings. So what are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, most of my paintings that I make in my videos are only a couple of hours. Sometimes if that, the one I just recently made was an 8-hour painting. So that for mm-hmm. me was like, wow, that was good. And I used to spend, you know, weeks doing a digital painting that ended up taking me probably a total of around 20 hours. But obviously it's just not sustainable in every yeah. single video because I just got burnt out so easily. So now I go down to like a couple hours painting. But then, of course, you have people saying, well, how come you used to make stuff like this, but now you make this? This is bad.
Don't you love that?
Yeah.
That's great. Like,
yeah.
Do you prefer to work that way, like on quicker projects, or do you feel limited by that?
I definitely feel limited because, I mean, in a sense, it's nice because I'm making more. When I used to not make videos, I used to spend so long on pieces, so I'd be really, really proud of them or really happy with how they turned out. Well, I'd still criticize and pick them apart like crazy, but still, I was happier with them. But I used to make maybe 10 things a year that way, versus now I'm making something every single week that it's just, I don't know, it's nice to be making more, but at the same time I would like to spend more outside of YouTube doing things, but then I feel guilty for not filming myself making things. Do you ever do like fun projects behind the scenes for yourself?
I do. It's a completely different experience doing something on your own, not filming it, than it is, you know, having to worry about creating the entire video for it. Like, I actually paint squishies with my mom sometimes.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, and she's always like, don't you do this enough? Like, are you tired of this? Like, do you not want to do this? And I'm like, no, this is still really fun for me. And, you know, it is so different not worrying about the camera and all of that. It's really, you know, quite a bit more relaxing. So I do find time to do like little creative projects on the side, and
that's good.
Yeah, it's, art is still like my way to relax. It is my work, but it's still my way to relax, and I still have a lot of fun with it, and that's something that's like really important to me and has been the whole time, like to keep art fun and not worry so much about like, you gotta make it better, you gotta make it as good as so-and-so, you know. I don't I'm very hard on myself in a lot of areas, but with art, I'm like, I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to be so hard on myself in that area. I really want to keep it fun and just enjoy it and not, not put so much pressure to do better all the time.
Oh, I like that, actually, because art was always my hobby before it was my job. And I've kind of lost my love for it a little bit. So I need to find a way to get it back, because yeah, I think maybe if I do more projects outside of filming, that I'd probably just appreciate it more. Like, I love to sit with my iPad and draw sometimes.
Yeah.
That's something I do enjoy. So, yeah.
Didn't you come from digital painting? You started. How was that transition? Because I never did digital painting until recently. And it's like, I feel like going from like the messiness of real painting or traditional painting to digital painting is like, I don't know, digital painting is just so cool and it's so neat and everything is so compact and everything's right there, and there's all these and you can like, the undo tool is like everything. I wish we had that in traditional, but how is it going from digital to like the messiness of traditional?
I started doing digital painting when I was about 16. And I did it because I used to play a game called Small Worlds, and you'd like make these canvases and you'd like earn currency in the game if someone wanted to buy the painting. And there was these like incredible artists that would make these like flawless paintings, and you was limited to like 1,000 strokes. So you'd have to like basically do as much as you could without lifting your pen. And I used my touchpad for a very long time. So I did that, and I ended up a few years later making a couple of digital painting videos, and I enjoyed it. But then I found people that did traditional art where I could see their hands, where I could see them, was far more enjoyable for me personally to watch. So I was like, well, YouTube and the art side of things is going, you know, it's going pretty decently at the moment, but I can't really maintain that if it's constantly on a screen. So I was like, okay, I pretty much just need to teach myself. And I tried an acrylic painting. It was horrible. It looked so bad. This was, I don't know, how many years ago was this? Probably like 7 years ago. It was so, so, so bad. Thinking about it, it was probably oil paints, not acrylic paints. But anyway, it was still really, really bad. and I basically had to teach myself to do traditional painting because I'd never done it before. And that was about 5 years ago, I think, the first time I did it. 4 or 5 years ago. Probably about 5 years ago now. I forget it's 2020. Still like 2017 in my mind. But yeah, it was difficult because it was so different. And for a long time, I kept like, oh, I need to control Z, undo that. And then I'm like, oh, I can't.
Oh, that's the worst. Yeah, see, that's what I was wondering. Mm-hmm. Like, you're so used to these, like, little hacks in digital painting that you don't have that. There's no way to make that work in traditional.
New layers.
Layers, exactly. Yeah. I'm impressed that you made that transition, though, so well. And, like, you've only been doing it for, what, you said 5 years? Like,
about 5 years.
Yeah.
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 Well, thank you.
That's pretty cool.
Thank you. Yeah, it's definitely a weird transition. I know people that start traditional and go to digital find it such a strange, like, difference in, you know, creating. But I know a lot of people like the simplicity of digital painting because it's no mess. And that's something I really miss, is the lack of mess, because I am the messiest painter ever. It's literally all over my desk as I look around right now. I just get it everywhere.
Yeah, it really is. It's like uncontrollable, especially when you're trying to do multiple things at once. Like, you're not just focusing on painting, but you're focusing on filming and your lighting.
Exactly.
And there's all this stuff around you that you have to keep track of. So yeah, everything gets covered in paint.
That's it's really bad.
Unavoidable.
Absolutely. So digital painting wise, have you been using that? Is that something you think you'd maybe use in videos at some point, like solely a digital painting related video? Or do you think that's just more of a, that helps me kind of visualize what I'm actually going to physically do?
Right. I have incorporated like a little bit of it in my videos already, like just dabbling with it. Kind of how you explained, like, watching traditional painting on physical objects is like more interesting for a video. So it's hard to think of a way to dedicate a whole video to a digital painting. Right. I would like to do something more with it in the future, because I definitely am having fun with it. But for right now, it's really just something that I'm doing, like, in my free time. You know, I can take it anywhere with me and, you know, paint or draw digitally whenever I feel like it, whenever I have an idea. So it's just been like a source of relaxation for me up to this point. But yeah, I would like to incorporate it more. It's just kind of a tricky thing to incorporate.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. What would you say, a little bit off topic, but what would you say has been the coolest thing to happen to you in your YouTube career so far?
Oh, the coolest thing.
Yeah.
I think I'm a simple person. Okay. Like, I like the little things, you know, and I really appreciate kind of like day-to-day little things, you know, like, I think it's really cool just to get up and do what I want to do, you know, and work on these little projects that I want to work on. And so I think that's kind of a lame answer, but just like the day-to-day satisfaction of getting to do what I love doing is the coolest thing for me.
Yeah.
If I had to pick something, I did have a sponsored video by Elmer's at one point, and they created like this 6 foot by 6 foot canvas for me. It was a big paint by number, and it was like completely custom for me. They designed it. They put my logo on it.
Oh my gosh.
And seeing that in person for the first time, I remember that being just like, oh, wow, like, this is really crazy that this huge company like took the time to design something for me.
That's amazing.
And now I'm using it, and it's like, it was just huge, and I was very overwhelmed at that moment, like, wow, this is kind of like a real thing. And yeah, so that was a cool moment.
Now, I've just cut out meat from my diet, and I have hated fruit my entire life. I've also dealt with acid reflux since I was 16, so to try to find multivitamins to fill in any gaps in my nutrition isn't always easy. Usually, they don't fulfill my needs, or I end up getting reflux from them, so I recently learned about a brand called Ritual, who are sponsoring today's episode. Ritual vitamins, or vitamins, are vegan, non-GMO, gluten-free, and allergy-free. There are zero fillers, colorants, or shady additives you find in other multivitamins. Not only are these scientists and nutritionists recommended, but they fill in 9 nutrient gaps in your diet. Another thing that is very beneficial to me is the fact they are delayed release designed, which means they dissolve later in less sensitive parts of your stomach. And as someone who has dealt with acid reflux since I was 16, that is perfect for me. They're available for women, men, and teens, as well as their best-selling prenatal vitamins. They're delivered straight to your door every single month with always free shipping. So if you'd like to try Ritual for yourself, they are offering my listeners a 10% off during your first 3 months. So visit ritual.com/paintwater to try them for yourself. Was that quite a defining moment for you, where you kind of like, wow, I actually like, I'm doing pretty well. This is like a thing. Wow.
I think there have been several of those moments because it's easy to just like, I mean, I work in my basement, you know, and half the time I'm in my pajamas. Like, I only have to get dressed from the top up, you know, like I'm same in my right pajama now. Pants like half the time. So it's easy to forget like what is actually going on. You know, like there are millions of people watching you. Like that's easy to forget. So there have been a couple moments where it's like, wow, like this is kind of crazy. Like meeting somebody in the for the first time that watches my video in public. Yeah. That was kind of a moment like, oh, like somebody just recognized me. That's crazy. So I think there have been several of those
Oh, do you get that a lot? I mean, obviously not this year, you've not really been out, and if you have, you've probably been wearing a mask, but like in general, do you get that? Are you overwhelmed every time you go out with people, or is it just kind of every so often?
Definitely not overwhelmed. I don't.
That's nice though.
Yeah. It's not every time I go out, not even close. And it's definitely more likely, like if I'm traveling or if I'm in a more busy place, it probably will happen. In that scenario. But if I'm just like doing something really low key, like going to the grocery store, I think I blend in, you know, I'm not like this, like,
you're not in your face or anything.
Yeah. I just like pretty standard looking person. And I think I'm, you know, just going about my business in the grocery store. People aren't really paying much attention to me. So that's nice. But I have gotten a little bit more used to it and a little bit more comfortable with it, because it has happened enough where it's like I'm not shocked anymore. I do prefer when people actually come up and say hi, as opposed to just like
they just stare and whisper.
And it's like, it's obvious that you're talking about me. A lot of people will like get out their phones and like
they'll be like
cross-comparing to make sure that they got the right one, and I'm just like, I feel like a zoo animal right now. Like, if you want to talk, like, come say hi, or like, just, you know.
Oh no, what
like,
do I do? This is awkward.
It is really weird. So that situation, I don't really like that much. It makes me feel uncomfortable, obviously, to just be stared at and talked about. But if somebody wants to come and say hi, like, that's fine. It's exciting to meet people in person. Aww. So
I had a funny one once where, and again, this does not happen very often. It's normally like if I'm on vacation or I go to like, you know, on holiday to Disney or Universal. It's happened a couple of times. And I got home, or I got back to where we were staying, and someone had messaged me and said, I saw you at Universal earlier. Sorry, my mom was yelling, but she wanted a butter beer, but I wanted to come and say hi. And I was like, I don't know who you are. I didn't hear anyone yelling. Like, I'm sorry, my mom was yelling, and I don't know who it was. I didn't hear anyone yelling wherever I was. I don't know, I just always feel like I have to watch what I say, and I'm by no means like a big YouTuber in any means, but I always worry that I get grumpy sometimes, and I can complain a good, you know, sometimes if something's, you know, frustrated me when I'm out. I'm like, oh, I hope no one heard that.
Yeah, it definitely does keep you on your toes. And yeah, you gotta watch out for that and make sure you're not grumping around too much. But
exactly. Yeah. Again, a bit of a change of topic again, but do you ever get burned out?
So,
is that something you ever deal with?
In my mind, burnout is not just like, oh, I'm tired. You know, it's like a kind of sustained exhaustion and like a loss of motivation, or like I'm not really enjoying what I'm doing. I don't think that I've reached burnout yet. At any point, I think I've definitely been exhausted. I've definitely been tired. I've definitely gotten to a point many times where I'm like, oh my gosh, am I gonna finish this video? Like, I'm so tired, I don't know if I can do it. But as soon as I go to sleep and wake up the next morning, I'm like, I'm good to go, you know, I'm fine. I'm energized again, I'm ready to do what I gotta do, and I'm excited. So I haven't hit burnout. I know it's a real thing. It's obviously something we hear about a lot with creators, and it's something that I'm honestly kind of scared of, and I'm like hyper aware of, because I know once you get to that point of burnout, it's kind of hard to get, like, dig yourself out of that hole. And so I do my best to be proactive and try to like actively avoid getting to that point. I think having a lot of variety in my schedule helps, and like being able to switch between filming and editing, being able to do different types of videos helps. And also, I really just make videos that I want to make, you know, like I don't force myself to do something that I don't want to do. Of course, I want to take into consideration what the audience wants. That's important. But I'm not just going to listen to what they want all the time if it's like not what I feel like doing, because in a backwards way, I'm looking out for them. You know, like if I'm not enjoying it, you guys aren't going to enjoy it, and I'm going to be burned out and I'm not going to want to do this anymore. And then it's not good for anyone. So I definitely am like really protective about like I want to keep my passion for this and I want to keep my energy up. So I'm not going to do anything that's just like super draining for me. I'll only do stuff that I'm excited about. So that's I think that helps kind of avoid getting to that place.
Yeah, I was going to ask you actually if there was ever any kind of immense pressure to keep up with a certain kind of content, because I know for me personally, I know it's the same for a few of my friends as well, once we ever kind of stray from a certain type of video, people aren't anywhere near as interested. And there's been videos I've made before where it's like solely what I would like to make, and it never does anywhere near as well. So it's always kind of that balancing act of, okay, well, I've got to make something that I want to make. So I always make sure that I do. But it also always has to be something that I know someone is going to want to watch at the same time. So for me, it's always like a juggling act. Okay, well, I'm going to enjoy that. Not as much as I would maybe that, but I know my audience won't enjoy that quite as much. So I've got to do a bit of balance of both. Did you ever kind of have a stage where you felt that way and you're just like, screw it, I'm just going to make 100% what I want to make, while also taking that, you know, obviously into consideration, but it has to be what I love doing. And maybe that's kind of why you're so good at not, you know, getting burnt out.
I mean, there are some cases where, like, for instance, the Squishy Makeover series, that was what really propelled my channel. And when it did start boosting my channel a lot, I was doing them more frequently. And so I did see some, like, some pushback when I started lessening that and focusing more on other things, because I felt like, you know, I don't want to, like, pigeonhole myself. I don't want to only be focusing on this one series, because I want variety in my life and I want variety on my channel. So I did definitely get like some, oh, why aren't you doing the squishy videos as much anymore? Like, that's what we're here for. Definitely saw a lot of that. And honestly, you just have to kind of like, well, sorry, this is what's going to work best. Just trust me. Long term, this is going to work out better. So you got to just, you know, trust that you're making the right decision, and, you know, realize you can't please everyone, which is hard, because by nature, I'm a people pleaser. Like, I want everyone to be happy. And that's something that is difficult with doing this for me, because I just, I crave harmony. Like, I want to make every person happy, and it's just impossible. So,
it is impossible.
Yeah, you have to let go of that and just realize, like, you know, you know what's best, do what's best, and most people will be okay with it, most likely. So
that's awesome advice. I think a lot of your audience too is just there for you because you're so entertaining, and I feel like you could just literally paint, I don't know, a door handle and people would just be fascinating. I mean, I think you did, you do that once? I feel like you might have done that once.
No, I haven't. No, I haven't painted a door handle.
Door idea.
That's next week. No. Yep.
But yeah, I just think a lot of it is in, again, the editing and your personality as well. And do you find it's kind of, because obviously you do all of the, like, all of the editing yourself, and a lot of creators who do this full time, like big creators like yourself, tend to have, you know, editors. And even I've been like considering an editor. Jazza said to me that I need to get an editor because he's got an editor. But your videos are like impossible to hand over to an editor to do what you do. It'd just be, it wouldn't be Mariah anymore, because you couldn't be like delegating, right, this is exactly what I need to say then, because you need to sit through the footage. So, you know,
I think it would be pretty impossible to completely push the editing off. I mean, I could do it, it would have to change a lot. Like, I think I would have to completely change my process, and it would definitely change the style of everything. And since it is something that I enjoy doing, I'm just going to keep doing it, you know. Right. I think that, you know, everyone has to kind of figure out what works for them. And if editing isn't that important to you and you can save time and you can save energy, then by all means, like, get an editor, you know, if you can. I think that's great. But, yeah, for me, I think I just like doing it and it's something that saves my sanity. So I'm going to I'll just keep doing it. Yeah.
Oh, good. Do you have, like, a strict schedule of what you do each week? Right, this is my upload day, so this day I'm going to film this day I'm going to do this. And then do you, like, stick to it exactly? Or, excuse me, I'm losing my voice. Do you end up sticking to a fairly strict schedule? But then, obviously, you said you can move things around if you want to. But do you ever find it hard to stick to a schedule? Or, because obviously working for yourself, it's very, you don't have anyone to answer to. So,
right,
you know.
Right. Yeah, I used to think that one of the big advantages of being self-employed is, like, oh, I can work whenever I want and I can, like, take the whole morning off and then just, like, work the evening, you know. But I found that doing it that way actually is more limiting, and you end up being, like, the time that you have off is less satisfying because you end up procrastinating. And when you're procrastinating, you're not actually enjoying your time. You're just sitting there like, oh, I should be working, but I'm not, you know. So I've actually found that having a more rigid schedule is a lot more helpful for me and keeps my energy up. And the time that I have off, I can actually relax. So I do, like, get up at the same time every morning. I'm up by 7 every morning.
Wow.
And I mean, it's not, like, super early. I know a lot of people have to get up earlier, but I am not a morning person at all. So it
Neither am I. That's early to me. I'm like, ooh, 7.
Yeah, like, naturally, I want to roll out of bed at 10 and then, like, stay up super late. But it just works out so much better, like, lifestyle-wise to actually get your butt out of bed at the same time, get to work at the same time, and then you can end earlier and you can actually have some quality time off.
Yeah.
So in that way, I do have a very rigid schedule, but every week is different as far as, like, the filming and the editing schedule. Like, I plan it all in advance.
Right.
I'm a big list person, so I write down, like, Monday, do this and this and this and this. Tuesday, do this. And it's different every week, but I plan it out in advance every week. And do I stick to it always? Something always goes wrong. Something always takes longer than it should, or there's always a problem, you know. So unexpected things happen. So yeah, every week I have to move something around, but for the most part, you know, I do stick to it. I do get my video out every Friday and have without fail for the past, like, 3 years. So
that's amazing.
So I get it done somehow, but yeah, for sure there are times when I have to work, like, extra late or something has gone wrong.
Yeah. Do you have, like, you said you're a big list person, do you have, like, a giant list of video ideas, or do you just kind of...
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. At all times I have a running list of ideas.
Good.
And then I'm just, like, adding to it constantly. Right. I always have so many ideas that I, like, don't get around to, and...
Yeah, I
have a lot of ideas that I want to do in the future, and some of them have been sitting on there for, like, years, and I still haven't gotten around to, but yeah, I definitely like keeping a list. Do you do that?
I do. Mine's normally on my phone or something, and I usually kind of don't plan on which week I'm going to do it. I'm just like, okay, which do I feel like doing this week? I could do that one, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been increasingly more difficult to make some of the videos that I want to make because... I used to make a lot of testing art hack videos. That was a big thing for me, like, when my channel was really starting to grow, was the testing art hack videos. They did really well for me. And I kind of went off of them a little bit, but every time I do them, people, you know, seem to still enjoy them. But I often need stupid stuff like little paper clips or little pieces of cork board, and I can't just go out to get that. So now I have to either spend an extortionate amount of money for, like, 5 million paper clips on Amazon and wait for them to arrive, or, you know, it just makes it more difficult. So it's been tough trying to figure out ways to do it this year, but I'm just like, do I feel like doing that video idea this week? No. Okay, I'll do the other one.
Well, that's good. You should do that, because you are, at the end of the day, you are in charge, and it is your thing. And if you're not feeling it, then you should be able to switch it up, and don't, like, beat yourself up if you don't stick to a plan, you know?
Definitely. Do you have, like, weekends off? Like, do you have try to not work on weekends?
I try to. Sundays, I do take off because I usually go to my parents' house at some point on Sunday. And, like, family is really important to me. I definitely, to make time for my family and spend time with them, you know, uninterrupted without any work stuff coming in. So, I do make an effort to get some time off, especially on Sundays, and spend some time with my parents and my brother.
Oh, that's so nice. I always, my weekends, I sometimes work certain weekends depending on what I have to do that, you know, the next week, because I normally upload Wednesdays, so I normally start, like, the end of the week. But I like what you were saying about how you have to kind of mentally take care of yourself and have time off because it's important. I always, my mum always told me to just not work really, really late. So it's been a while now since I've worked super, super late. Sometimes I'll go to maybe 1 a.m. if I really have to edit, but it's been rare that I do that, and I could never just pull an all-nighter anymore. I think it's so important to, like, look after yourself.
Yeah, definitely. I went through a phase, like I said, after I graduated college was when I really took this seriously. Mm-hmm. I put so much pressure on myself because, you know, I was married. I got married really young, 19. Mm-hmm. And so we were young, married, and broke. And this is something that I really wanted to do, but I wasn't making hardly anything at that point. So I felt really guilty, like, putting so much pressure on my husband to support us. And, you know, we were struggling. And I was like, oh, like, I need to make this work ASAP. And I gave myself 1 year to make it work. And if it didn't work in the year, then I was going to have to, like, find something else. I'm not going to, like, continue to put all the pressure on him. Wait, where was I going with that? What was the original question that you asked?
It was about, oh gosh, my brain's gone blank now. It was about, oh, taking time for yourself and your family and stuff.
Right. So during that phase, I went nuts. Like, I was working such an unhealthy amount. Like, I was pulling multiple all-nighters a week just to get, like, as much work done as possible. And it's like, it's over now, so I feel like, I got it done, and it worked out. But yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't recommend it. It was a lot of work, and I do have a large capacity for work. Like, I am borderline workaholic. Mm-hmm. I can work really hard. So I felt okay about it, and I got through it, and I was, like, not even, you know, I still have had energy for what I was doing. Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely not the best way to go about it. No. And I don't pull the all-nighters anymore. So yeah, I definitely try to stop at a reasonable time. And I think that's really important for your sanity and for the people around you too, you know, making time for the people around you. So
definitely. Well, alongside that, what would be, like, the biggest piece of advice you could give to people that are wanting to get into crafting or content creation? Obviously, other than the obvious we've talked about, you know, would there be any advice that you could give people? Or do you think that YouTube's kind of a thing now that it's just gone a bit too far for, unless you're doing crazy video ideas because they're so popular now in the art community? Do you think it's a bit difficult to get into now? Or what advice would you give? I know that's a weird question.
Yeah, no, things have changed and things are a lot more competitive now. Yeah. And, like, even the difference between when I really, like, three, four years ago compared to now is different. Mm-hmm. Like, I see all these channels now that are completely dedicated to, like, YouTube advice and growing your channel. I don't know if those were around 4 years ago, but I never saw anything like that. You know, I felt like that wasn't as common. And so now I feel like people who are starting out know so much more than I knew. I had to, like, really struggle to figure these things out. And now it's, like, common knowledge almost, you know? So the baseline is, like, raising up higher and higher. Yeah. And I think that makes it more difficult to get into. But I don't think that it's impossible. What advice would I have? I'm trying to think of some advice that's not, like, super cliche. Like, oh, post consistently. Like, yeah, that's something we hear all the time. I think something that's important is to really pay attention to how you consume content, and, like, you know, go around YouTube, watch videos, and pay attention to, like, your behavior when you watch videos. That's something that I really focused on when I was trying to grow my channel, Like, why are you clicking off after 30 seconds? Why are you hitting the like button? Is it because somebody told you, or is it something mm-hmm. else that motivated you? You know, like, paying attention to your habits and what you appreciate about other people's content, and then you can assume that you're not that unique. You know, you probably yeah. have pretty similar habits to other people. Mm-hmm. So then you can kind of figure out how to, you know, add those things into your own content and make your own content better and make Absolutely. Content that you want to see. Make the type of content that you want to watch.
That is very good advice. That's why I'm so inspired by your channel. I was kind of like very, very starstruck when you emailed me that time, because I was like, I love her video so
really?
Much. Oh. Yeah, I was showing my friend Hannah your videos at VidCon like last year. I was like, look at this girl's videos, they're so good. This is her name's Mariah Elizabeth. I'm pretty sure you hadn't emailed me at that point. But I was just like showing her. We were sat on the bed and I was showing her and she's like, damn, she's really good. And I was like, I know, right?
Aww.
I take all the inspiration from you. You're
well, I emailed you because I loved your content Aww. And I love your sense of humor, and
oh, thank you.
Your videos are very entertaining to watch as
thank
well.
You.
So, you know, that's why I reached out to you in the first place. I just Aww, really appreciated you. What you did. So
thank you. I need to be better at planning. That's one thing I'm not very good at, is scheduling my time and planning things. So I've definitely learned some things from you today, which I appreciate.
Oh.
I'm sure other people listen
thank you.
Have to.
Thank you.
But yeah, I want to put more time and energy into my editing a little bit more. I tried this past week, but it's still not to the point that I want it to be. But yeah, I've got some ideas. I need to be better with my schedule. Probably in the new year, because Christmas time and I'm always
oh, yeah.
like busy then.
yeah.
So again, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I would love to kind of hear about the process, because you've released your own kind of Wreck-It journal, but your version of it, and it's really awesome. And also you've just released a bunch of squishies and hoodies and different t-shirts and stuff, all based on characters that you've made.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear about how you go about the process of, right, this is what I want to make. Is it someone reaching out to you that sorts all that out, or do you reach out to other people, or do you research? I'm just curious about that whole process.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So we've gone through different, like, phases of how things come about. For the book, that was completely self-published.
Mm-hmm.
And I just did that completely on my own.
Wow, that's amazing.
I designed it on my own, I formatted it on my own, and published it on my own. So
wow.
that was just a completely independent project. And then I've also done the pickle plush, which was the first
yep.
like big product that I ever launched, and that was also completely not on my own, but on our own. My husband mm-hmm. actually helps with a lot of the business side of things
right.
and coordinating a lot of the logistics for that.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to find the manufacturer, reach out to the manufacturer, send them the idea, mm-hmm. go through the rounds of revisions and get sampling done and all that. And then we actually did fulfill it on our own as well.
Wow.
In my parents' basement.
Oh my gosh.
It was crazy.
You must have had so many packages.
Oh my gosh, it was crazy. My mom worked her butt off fulfilling oh. these things. I mean, she wanted to do it,
yeah.
But yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot, and it was a full family effort getting that oh. launch done. And then, you know, after that, we were like, well, this probably isn't sustainable, and mm-hmm. we're just going to be limiting ourselves to continue mm-hmm. doing it this way. So, you know, now we don't fulfill things anymore ourselves. We
right.
we go through a fulfillment center and
Definitely.
Stuff like that. So now the process is a little bit different now, but it's still the same, like, you know, the design starts with whatever I create on my channel, and that's like half the battle.
Yeah.
And then we use that for the inspiration, for the merchandise. We've tried to figure out, like, what is the audience going to like? What am I mm-hmm. going to like? What am I interested in? And then pick out some products, get some samples, and go from there. The long process of going back and forth and changing every little detail and making all these little petty edits that probably drive everyone crazy. Like, I've literally sent back edits like, can we move that one sprinkle to the right, please? Like, I make
right,
the most
yeah.
petty edits, and I feel
hey,
like
no, it's gotta be right.
Yeah, it's gotta be
yeah.
it's gotta be right. So
yeah.
And then there's the whole, you know, launching process and promoting it, and then mm-hmm. doing the photo shoots, which has been like a recent thing. My dad actually takes the photos.
Really? Oh
yeah.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. And he loves photography, and we have uh-huh. so much fun taking those photos. I've never been, like, the type of person who likes really taking photos of myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't Same. Like the selfies or anything like that. But up to before, like, this new wave of merchandise, I was always taking my own promotional photos. And it was mm-hmm. so frustrating, like, trying yeah. to take photos of yourself. So it's just been, like, a huge weight lifted off yeah. having help with that. And it feels like a celebration, you know, of the products, yeah. like, taking these fun photos. So... Yeah, definitely. It's been fun.
That's awesome. Your dad's got a lot of talent, because I was thinking how professional they looked. I was like, maybe she got a professional photographer, or maybe her husband's like a photographer or something yeah. like that. They're really good.
No, he is good. He is good. Yeah. And he's creative about, you know, coming up with like little ideas for, you know, themes and different locations mm-hmm. that we can go to take the photos. So it's, yeah, it's been really fun.
They're so sweet. My family's the same, especially my mum. Whenever I'm selling prints or anything, she's, you know, sat at the table like, doing all, fulfilling it, helping me with it. Mm-hmm. I think I'm very fortunate for that. Do you think your family is like a big reason why, you know, you are where you are, and like, you're so humble? I mean, you're doing so incredibly well for yourself. You're amazing. I'm not trying to like toot your horn or anything, but you are, you know, you're so humble for what you've got. You know, there's creators out there that have, you know, what you have, and they're just so far up the butts, you know. You're just so humble, and I'm guessing that's obviously, you know, the way you've been raised, and obviously you as well as a person.
Yeah, well, I think I can't really take full credit for it. You know, that's how I feel, because, yeah, my family is a huge advantage that not everyone has. Mm-hmm. You know, not everyone has like a super solid support structure or people around them who are like, no, you can do it. Like, you're good. You're doing well. You know, keep on going. Yeah. And that's like, that's a huge thing. And I've had that. You know, my whole life, my parents have been yeah. super supportive of me. So,
yeah,
I do credit them a lot for anything that I get accomplished, because who knows where I'd be if I, like, was really discouraged and didn't have anyone to pick me up and yeah. push me, you know, to keep on going. So,
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. There was a point where when I was in school, I hated what I was doing, and I was like, I really hate what I'm doing. I need to find something a bit different. So I found like got an interview for a job for something that was like, I don't know, designing print, like little illustrations for like printed fabric or something. And I was doing computer science, so it wasn't something that I wasn't in school for art. But I was like, I've got to do something art related. And my mum was like, don't go for that. In my opinion, don't go for that job. Just keep at YouTube. My channel hadn't really grown at this point. She's like, just keep at it for another year. Kind of like you said, for another year. Mm-hmm. Give it a try. I'm okay with you staying at home. You don't need to go to work right now. Just for a year, just give it a go, you know, because you'll regret it if you don't. So I did, and it kind of went from there. So I like to hear that was similar yeah. for you too.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome that you had that support and encouragement. It really is huge.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. I was getting my phone up here ready.
Okay.
So someone here is asking, for each video or for your art supplies, do you have to spend a lot of money for each of your videos in order to, like, you know, get them how you want them?
I don't know. Not a ton. I mean, I do go through a lot of paint.
Yeah.
But, not compared to a lot of people, you know. There's yeah. a lot of people who do some crazy things on YouTube, and so mm-hmm. I feel weird like complaining like, oh, it's so expensive, when I see other people who like really go all out. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I spend a lot of money on paint. We'll yeah. say that. But yeah, it's not like too much. It's mm-hmm. not a crazy amount. It's not an overwhelming amount. And this is my job, so I don't really feel bad about spending exactly. money on paint or supplies. It's like, yeah, you gotta invest in what you're doing, exactly. or else you're not gonna be able to continue to do it. So mm-hmm. it's not something I have guilt over, or I really like worry about. But yeah, it does get expensive with
yeah.
having a constant stream of like, oh, I got to get the paint, I gotta get the thing that I'm mm-hmm. painting on, I am constantly shopping for supplies.
I'm the same. I'm like, okay, this tube of paint is like $12. But then I have to remember that I'm going to use it in multiple videos, yeah. because at least it kind of lasts.
Yeah.
And also, like, for us, it is like a business expense. So mm-hmm. at least you don't have to, like, you know, the tax side of things, it's not so bad. And if we yeah. were, like, an office, we'd have to buy staplers or, like, you know, yeah. paper and that type of thing. So
totally.
That's really good. Do you ever worry about how other adults may look at you based on the content you make?
That's a good question. Yeah, because I have such a fun kind of cutesy style of art, and you know, rainbows and sprinkles. Some people may not think that it's the most mature thing. Mm-hmm. I don't see it that way. No. Because I don't think that maturity is really based on whether or not you like rainbows. No. You know, maturity is a lot more than that. It's, you know, how responsible you are and how,
absolutely,
you know, if you can make selfless decisions and stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see it that way. So I just kind of, if I do get worried about that, or if I do have other adults kind of judging me for it, which I do, I just kind
they're
of
just not
to,
fun.
Yeah, I just kind of have to tell myself, well, you know what? I'm having a lot of fun with this, yeah, and this is genuinely what I want to do. And, you know, it's not worth it to kind of like change myself just to be more like what's typical, you know. So you're and there are a lot of adults who are the same way, and so that's also an encouragement. Like, I get so many messages from people like, oh, you gave me the confidence to like what I like and not worry about what other people tell me.
Yeah.
And so that kind of keeps me encouraged and motivated. Yeah.
I think that's what people like about you too, is because you are very unique in that way. You're very, you make people feel good about what they enjoy, things that maybe a few years ago people would have been like, oh, I'm a bit embarrassed to really enjoy that, but you make it, you know, really, really fun. And I don't know, I think that's just why you're doing so well, because you are just so unique. And it's not, I feel like our generation is more accepting. I mean, I have Mickey ears on my wall. I think our generation is just more accepting that you can enjoy the things you enjoyed as a kid. It doesn't mean you're any less of an adult, but we're kind of not having to worry about what other people are thinking because it's more accepted, versus like my mum had, well, next year would have had two kids at my age. So, you know, it's just nice that.
Yeah, it's for sure. Accepting. For sure. Our generation has changed a little bit with that. And I think we're on the same page. It is the older generation usually that is like, grow up, you know, that's hard for me because I do have a lot of respect for people who are older than me and know more than me. But in that area, I'm like, you may be a little off on this one.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. So if you just want to let everyone know what your social media is, if anyone for some reason is listening and not already following you, you need to go follow her.
Well, I'm Mariah Elizabeth on YouTube. I am Mariah Elizabeth Official on Instagram. I don't have that many social media, I guess. I'm really bad at social media, so we'll just stick with those. Oh, okay. I'm me, Mariah Elizabeth, on TikTok. That's right.
Oh, I need
right
to follow that. I need to follow that.
Let me double check that, actually.
Okay, I need to follow you. I didn't know you had TikTok.
Yes, me.mariah.elizabeth. That's my TikTok handle.
Cool. I'm going to follow. Oh, you're following me already. Cool. Yep. You're only following 14 people. I'm very honored. Oh. I'm more self-conscious now. My TikToks are crap.
Oh, so is mine. I'm working on it, but it's there's a lot to keep track of.
And I can't keep up with everything.
Yeah. I'm not the best at other social media, so.
Well, thank you to everyone listening today. Thank you again, Mariah, for joining us in this episode. Really appreciate you taking the time out because I know you're very busy.
Absolutely. It was fun. And I appreciate you asking me on. Really excited to have been included.
Well, thank you once again. Really appreciate it. Take care, everyone. Thank you again to Mariah, and see you in the next episode.
Bye.